The Africa House Refugee Center was founded in October of 2006 and funded by a $600,000 three-year grant from the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement. Africa House is a multilingual community-based center that works with immigrants from 32 of the 54 African countries. They provide African refugees family-focused access to services such as job training, health education, and referrals for social and support services.
Tonight on Circle A Radio, we speak with Africa House Coordinator Jimmy Dogo, Daniel Amine, Mediation Specialist of Africa House, and Ali Ibrahim, Africa House Community Educator. We also take a tour of the Africa House facility. Stay tuned. This is Jimmy Dogo, Africa House Coordinator.
Africa House is on Stark. The address is 8523 South Stark. So far, Africa House is doing great. We have we partner with a lot of organizations locally here, with Portland State University, with OHSU, and also with other community-based organizations that we need to learn from them, especially those who have been here before us. So we work together with the Asian Family Center, with the African American organization, and with anybody else that can help us bring the people together and help them to be self-sufficient. We not here to expect a handout. We want to empower people to stand for themselves and to take care of their family. The idea started since 1999. We tried to put together something, a structure that would provide culturally specific service to African community. We've been trying since 1999 until October 2006. We got the project granted by Office of Refugee Resettlement. It's a federal program that help refugees to resettle in the United States. So it's 200,000 a year for 3 year program. So the current program going to end in 2009. Our purpose is to provide a one-stop service center for Africans that are resettling here in the state of Oregon. All refugees follow the same trajectory. So we said, well, the Asian came here since 75. They have the same problem. They're all Asian, but coming from different country with different culture. And if you see, those people been here, they said Asian Family Center since 1994. They went through all those problems. They have experience. So when we created African Community Center of Oregon, this is an advisory organization to IRCO. We went and met with the APANO, the Asian organization, that we want to have a structure at the Asian Family Center, and we want to learn more from them. They explained to us about the problem that they face when they started, because they're all Asian, but they don't all get along. They have problems like the African too, and how they came to resolve all those problems, to unite, having an organization which started in 1994 with $200,000, dollar from Loma County. Today they are over $1 million organization. So we follow the same model of Asian Family Center to apply to the African while keeping our culture and our language. We work as IRCO's program, so that IRCO will look for funding and give us this funding, and we'll provide the service to our community. So far, we're doing really good. IRCO's really helping, and we get like three or four different grants already for almost 1 year that is we started. And any time that we have a problem and we need advice, we just go to the Asian and ask them advice. And so far, the relationship is very good between the Africa House and the Asian Family Center. Mostly our work is referral and linkage. And we're not only focusing on refugee, but our main goal is to provide service to all African immigrants and refugees that are coming here. We also have another program that Danielle Amin work in, is a new program that's funded last October. It's a family mediation. What we do is we provide service to community members that are having problem either within the household or between community members or between the kid and the school. So we intervene to help the parent to understand the school system and how to participate in their children's education, because majority of refugees who are coming here are coming from rural areas. They don't have any urban living experience. So they end up in a most advanced country with too many choices. So they need someone to guide them. We also educate the community about parenting in America, American family law, and mainly domestic violence. There are things that are acceptable in Africa, but are not acceptable here. Here, it's considered child abuse, it's considered child neglect or domestic violence. So we have to tell them, because they don't know. If nobody tells them, they will continue doing it, and the system will either remove the children or put one of the spouse in jail, and it's going to break the family structure. So we try to keep family structure together.
Daniel Amine, mediation specialist of Africa House.
The thing is just we are laying the groundwork right now, and we really, it's hard to penetrate through African communities. You know, they're not open up to tell you what their real story is, you know, until you find them in court system or being arrested, then you find out about the cat and you try to interfere, and which is not, you know, you cannot help them on that stage. But what we're trying to do is to train people from the community, like the elders, the youth, and try to bridge the gap between the cultural differences where the Western culture won't really recognize or see it. This is a very, very, very nice work which has never been done so far. And we're trying to outreach every African community so that we can work together. But as I told you, we just started. And I hope maybe in a year or 2 years' time we might get the result. We are outreaching. We are emailing every community we know, the leaders of the community. We are emailing them that we are starting such a program, so we need your help. We actually provide them training for people whom they selected. You know, then they can be a good mediator or community representatives where the police, the law, everybody reach them so that they can understand what's really the root cause of the problem, if a problem arises. And like Jimmy said, you know, we have a lot of work to do because most of African refugees are coming from rural areas, so they're not used to such kind of living standard. We have to teach life skill training, we have to we have a lot of work to do. It just lined up, but the thing is how we can come together.
This is Ali Ibrahim, Africa House community educator.
As an Africa House team, we are always working to bring Africans together and to educate them the way they could live in a different country. Because in back home, the life is different, actually, especially if I take from like Somalis. Here, we always advise them to be united because they have a lot of different organizations in the same Somali communities. So we always try to educate them, to give them workshop, to teach them that if they are united and come together, they can get something good. But people, they still have some ideas that they feel like back home, that they say, we know that community is different from us, so we don't want to join them and this and this.
Again, Jimmy Dogo.
I just came back last night from New York to submit a project that got funded on African community reconciliation, to start a dialogue between different communities that are coming here. They have problem back home. The system brought them, brought both sides here, and they end up living in the same apartment complex, their children playing in the same playground. So we have to do something to bring the people together to start communicating, start dialogue, in order to help their children that are here now, are playing together and going to semi-school. So what we want to do through Africa House is to work for the greatest good of the community. Let's put aside our problem. Let's start a new change or new transition. So Africa House developed this transition framework from when people get here, how to help them, and then to start a new life, a new beginning, and put aside all the differences. Because in America here, a number count. If we are not united, it's not, we're not going to get help. And if part of the African community having problem, Africa House will not be successful. So in order for us to be successful to serve our people, we have first to help them unite and have a strong one voice.
So as an Africa House, you always try to make outreach to teach them the way, to bring them together here in our community room, to give them workshops. And the one most important thing is a language barrier. You may see sometimes even the kids, the youth, they just go to high school or whatever, and they become drop-off. Because of they are not placed in their level, but they are placed in their age. So the problem, you know, causes that the child or the student cannot understand the language, and he cannot take like math or biology or this. So it may cause this, the circumstances may cause him to leave the school. So we are all trying to solve all these problems as Africa House team. We don't mean that, or we don't say that like this is Somali or this is Ethiopian. Or we just take the name of Africa. So we want to bring them together. That's our main goal as an Africa House. Also, as an Africa House, we are organizing to make a youth program to bring all African youth together.
We have an African Youth Council that is representing all the African community living in Portland metro area. We have also a Council of African Elders, because in Africa, the elders play a very important role. When they come here, babysit, and the only role they have is to take care of their grandchildren. So what we did at Africa House is to give them this authority back, the authority that they have back home. Back home, they're the one that bring peace and harmony in the community. So we selected elders from different African community so that they will play the role of troubleshooting and to work with police and child protective services. And every issue that related to family law, how they can intervene before things get worse. So they're playing the role of prevention. And we're planning to train those elders on American mediation technique and conflict resolution so that it doesn't conflict with the law here. They will also apply their traditional, you know, mediation technique that they have together with the American system so that everything will go according to the law. And we emphasize on prevention because when people are coming, the orientation they get at the refugee camp, if there is a problem, just call 911. So families come here and they have an argument, they will just call 911 and spouses or children ending up in jail and the family structure is broken for just simple thing. And then the next day you see the wife will come to Africa House and telling us that then she doesn't mean to put her husband in jail. She just want to intimidate her husband. Like back home, you call police, the police will come, intimidate the husband, take the husband for a couple of hours, make him pay a fine and come back home, and then the elder will intervene to resolve the problem. It doesn't work this way. So we have to educate them, and we work with Multnomah County DA, so they're giving a workshop on American family law and domestic violence to different communities right now.
This is Circle A Radio. You are listening to a roundtable interview with people from Africa House. Coordinator Jimmy Dogo.
Yeah, one of the objectives of Africa House is to educate the mainstream and also the service provider to understand those people's culture, why they're here, why they're behaving this, and why they have all those problems, why the kid, we go to school and educate the school because they don't understand why the kids are behaving the way they're behaving. Those people are coming here, spend too many years in refugee camp. Most of the Somalis spend at least between 10 to 17 years in refugee camp. The Burundians that are coming spend 35 years in refugee camp. Those people are disconnected with outside world. They don't have a chance to go to school because United Nations doesn't fund high school. They fund up to middle school. After that, no more schooling. The host government doesn't allow the refugee to go to city in order to continue their education. So they are all warehoused in refugee camp. So when those people come here, they came with all the trauma, witnessing the war, atrocity of the war, and tough life in refugee camp. When they came here, they have problem. They have some barrier that they have. We have to help them before even they can participate in mainstream life. They have a health issue. They have a post-traumatic disorder. They have mental health issue. So all that we have to educate the service provider. If you give an appointment to the refugee to come at 9 a.m. and the refugee came at 12, some people don't understand and they get mad. Sometimes they send them home. So we explain to people, you know, because if there is a problem, they have to resolve the family issue first before they will go to the service provider. So you have to understand their culture. African refugees are not used to being interviewed. We're not used to. So when they came here, it's a new thing to them. So you need to ask several questions that are not related to what you want to know. Then, at the end, you're going to take them to what you want to know about them. The Western culture is direct. Yes or no, you're not going to get this. So we educate people how to interview them, how what question to ask. You start with asking about the family, how the household doing, and all those. You start building a trust before somebody going to open to you. And sometimes we advise even like nurses and a social worker, we advise them if you have a time, visit them at home, share a cup of tea with them. You will know more about their problem than just giving them appointment, come to a clinic, interview them. It's not going to work this way. They're not used. So those are things that we have to educate the service provider to know more about those people. The police, the child protective service, if the apartment manager called them that there is an African refugee family that left the kid at home by themselves, where they came from, the whole village take care of the children. So they think that the same thing here. I will just leave my kid in the apartment and the neighbor will watch them. It doesn't work this way here. And then we work with the family to understand it's not okay to leave the kid by themselves here. You don't bring police and try to force them to understand. They are not used to. And it's hard. The thing that they've been doing for hundreds of years, this is culturally appropriate. So when they came here, we have to educate them that it's not appropriate here. Before, up to 2004, they're concentrated in north and northeast. But right now, we have too many Africans moving. Since we started Africa House, there is a lot of secondary migrant coming from mainly from Minnesota, Portland, Maine, Phoenix, and Ohio. So now we're putting them everywhere that we can find low-income apartments. So we have African refugee in Gresham. We have them in Aloha, southeast, in southwest. We have them in Beaverton, in New Columbia, everywhere we see there is a low-income apartment, we apply there and take them there. The main concentration is on New Columbia and Hacienda, Killings Wharf and 6 year, and on a Division and 130th. And the biggest concentration is on Powell and 26, 28, and also here Gleason and 6th. So those are the main concentration where African refugee lives. But so far, anywhere we see there is a availability of housing, we just take them there. The anti-immigrant issue, I think, is bringing all the immigrants together. So we all working together to educate our community on how to stand up against those initiatives that goes against immigrants. So recently we get a grant from City of Portland to educate Asian, African, and Russian on civic engagement and how to participate on local government. Because some of them are citizens, but where they came from, everything is run by the state, and people fear the government. So when they came here, even if they got the citizenship, they don't want to participate because of the experience they have. So now it's our duty to educate them that they should participate on the decision that will affect their life. Because all the decisions that are made will affect their life if they don't participate. So we start educating African community to participate and to come out if there is something that goes against their interest. Together with all the immigrants, we're working together through City of Portland Task Force. We will do our best to fight against those anti-immigration law, because it starts with illegal immigrants, but it's going to end up affecting also refugees. We start seeing now the number of refugees being reduced every year, not like before where when they said 27,000 African refugees coming this fiscal year, at least 26 will be here. But last year, out of 27, we have less than 10,000 that came to resettle in the United States. So, yeah, we're organizing our community to stand for the right. Originally, we're supposed to serve 120 families a year, but the need is so big. So the last fiscal year, we served 424 people because the need is great and people are moving from other states. They heard about Africa House, about the service we're providing, how we're providing assistance. So people are calling their relative in other states. Why don't you come here? Because we have a structure that's helping us. Every day we have family moving from other states here, and we have to help them with housing, with food stamp, with we send them to IRCO for employment. That's why we're asking for help from mainstream community, from other foundation. There is a need here, and we don't want to stop after the federal grant run out. We're planning to do a fundraising by next summer to continue with programs. And recently, we just submitted, last week, Africa House submitted a project to Portland School Foundation for after-school program, so that we can hire someone that will help kids after school. We have a lot of kids in African kids in Roosevelt, in Cleveland High School, Madison, and Jefferson, that they're really struggling to compete. And when they cannot compete, they just drop out from school. So we see those kids are not dropping out, but they're pushed out because there are no service to help them.
Again, Daniel Amine.
I went to some club and there were kids, refugee kids involved, and they were not opening up to talk to us. But after a while, I was just playing with them, and you know, they started talking slowly. And one of the siblings told me that she was suspended from school, one of her sisters. And I asked her why. Because I hit back to one of the kids from class, you know. And, oh, you suspended, then we all didn't go to school because my mom could not leave me at home alone. So her siblings stay at home with her. The reason why she's hitting back is that's how she learned. At the refugee camp, you need to hustle or defend yourself, otherwise you've been left out. This is how she knows, you know. So there should be some teaching moment for all of us, for the school, for the club, for everybody, all of us. We have to see why this girl is acting like that. There is a need for public schools, for the police, for the court system, for everybody. There should be a learning moment. So that's why we at Africa House are trying to do that, because there should be alternative way of dealing with conflict in our community.
When we are talking about education to African refugees, it's not only that going to school. They also need even daily life to be educated, their daily life. You might see some of them are just driving a car and they have their food stamp card. And they don't understand what kind of card they have. So we must tell them and educate them all the system, what is right and what's wrong, what they have right and what they don't have right for them. So if we teach all these things, and especially when we are teaching this, we just speak with the language which they can understand. In this way, as an Africa House, we always go to their homes. We bring them together in one apartment where they can have coffee or tea together. And just we just tell them as a story to just attract them and to make them understand better. So in this way, they can study step by step and little by little. So that's another skill that we always help them.
Jimmy Dogo.
In Africa House, like in Africa in general, women play a very important role. The community development role is in the hand of women. And they're the one that with senior bring peace in most of the conflict that traditionally we have back home, if there is a conflict between different ethnic group or different tribe. Right now, because of the language barrier and also most of the women that are coming from rural area, we have a women life skill. We give them training through our workshop on financial literacy, parenting, how to make a doctor appointment, and also we're trying to empower them so that they can play the same role that they used to play back home. The household and the development of the family, especially the children, rely on women. So they're the one that should continue playing this role in keeping harmony and welfare of the community. We want to empower them. So what we did is the language plays a very important role. So for them to intervene, they have to speak English. So for women who have a single mom who have too many children cannot come here, we send a volunteer to tutor them at home. And then when at their free time, instead of bring them here, we go to their apartment and work with them in their apartments. We don't want them to come and then play a second role, just sitting back and taking care of the children and cooking. No, because here, both men and women have to contribute to participate for the greatest good of the community. Just men cannot solve the problem.
To add what Jimmy said is just education is the most important thing for the women's, men's, and the children's, you know, because we came from high context culture where there is a gender gap. So coming to America and adapting to this culture, the woman be classified as a breadwinner too, you know, they go out and work and come back. So to juggle between the outside work and the inside work, you know, there should be some strain will be, you know, be developed during this time. So that's why most of the time you see the arguments and the conflict. So we here try to educate our community, you know, to what this culture is all about.
So Africa House also, we also try to refer them to other organizations. Like we have an organization which we call Somali Women Community Organization, something like that. So this organization always helps them to train them sewing skills. Now they are organizing in Hacienda place that they have a place there, and they just want to buy them some sewing machines, and they want to train them there. So Africa House are giving a big hand of all these things. Especially for me, I'm one of the advisory committee of Somali community, Somali Association Committee. And last time we get a grant of 5,000, which we are especially helping for these women training. And the other thing is like single moms having problem with their kids at the school because of language barrier. When the principal of the school or the teacher calls them, they cannot understand. So the parents difficult for him or for her, whether he's a man or a woman, to go to school and understand unless he gets an interpreter. And the problem of the interpreter is that some of them, they speak different languages, like my community and the other Somali community. So if the school has like Somali, normal Somali interpreter, he says that the parent, he cannot understand his language. So he needs another my speaking person. This can also, we try also to solve this problem also to bring them together, to understand them together, since they are in one, you know, national or one community. So as an Africa House, this single mom always have problem, not only for their students in schools. They have also problem in health issue. Like they say, when a child reaches like age of 19, they get a letter from DHS saying that the health insurance was stopped from your child, so if you have claims, so you have to claim or whatever. And the parent doesn't understand even how to fill the form. We always try to help the single mom as an Africa House team.
So thank you for your visit. And you guys are one of the partners that will help us, because the press and especially Kebu is a community-based radio. We really appreciate you coming here, and this is the way that you will help us to promote Africa House to the mainstream community.
Listening to Circle A Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM, your community radio station. We took a tour of ERCO's Africa House facility. Jimmy Dogo, Africa House's coordinator, acted as our guide.
Okay, this is the community room. In this community room, we organize different workshops and also senior lunch every Thursday, and also senior class. And all the meeting that we invite our community member to come to is held here in this community room. And also, as you see, there is a lot of donation. So when we get donation, we bring here in the community room, and the newly arrived family will come here and pick what they need. So this community room play a very important role at Africa House. It's also, as you see this rag, when the client come here and it's time to pray, they came to the community room and pray here. Each community who is the first time to run the community room, the first time we get them for free, they will have their meeting for free, and then the next time they will rent it. So it's open to the community. If they have an event, they cannot organize the event in their apartment, the community room is open for them. They will just call us and organize the event here. So the community is really busy on Saturday and Sunday. We take almost everything that household stuff that people need, from kitchen stuff to TV to furniture. Because when the family are coming, they're coming from refugee camp, they have only a United Nations plastic bag. This is the only thing they come when we pick them at the airport. So when we find an apartment, we help them put mattresses, furniture in the apartment before they get here, so that when they get here, they have at least a bed to sleep on and a food that is already stored in the house. You have to call and make sure that somebody is here and will organize the drop-off, because sometimes we have the community room is full of staff, So we don't want the staff to be dropped here, but we call the family if they're home so that we can drop the staff directly to their apartment. Yeah, instead of bringing here, because the new arriving family have a transportation problem. So when we get a lot of donation, we just drop directly to their home. Our small backyard, we're planning in summer to bring community members and have a party, like the open house. We have it here outside. When we got this place, it's not clean like this, so we put the back dust, and this is a community space and our small parking lot. And especially the neighborhood is very good neighborhood. Monta Vila Neighborhood Association is very supportive to Africa House.
And it looks like it's all wheelchair accessible.
Yes, when we got the building, we built those wheelchair accessible by ourselves. Yeah, so that we follow American regulation. All right. Here is the reception area of Africa House. And we have in the reception area, we have our sister here, Teresa. She is from...
Hello.
From where again? Malawi or Swaziland?
I'm from Oregon, but I spent 2 years in Swaziland.
So she came from Swaziland. She spent 2 years there. So she's in charge of... she was in charge of our African Women Breast Cancer for 2 years. So now we have a new program, HIV and Hepatitis B education program to educate the community. So she's in charge of the new program. This is our kitchen. And Ali really loved the kitchen, so that's why you see him all the time here. So.
That's the place where I help myself all the time.
This is the kitchen.
It smells and good in here.
Yeah. Yeah, this map is an African map. We have all the 53 countries. And also when people came here, we showed them where most of the African refugees are coming from. So mostly they're coming from Ethiopia, from Somalia, and from Democratic Republic of Congo. And we have two or three refugees from Chad, where I came from. And we have refugees from Sudan, mainly southern Sudanese refugees. And also we have a refugee from a small country like Sierra Leone, Liberia, Rwanda, Burundi. Those are the small countries. The refugees that are coming right now are from Burundi. But they spent 35 years in Tanzania. And most of the Somali refugees are coming from Kenya. That's where they have a United Nations refugee camp there. So refugees from Tanzania or from Kenya, or most refugees coming from Eastern Africa, they all speak Swahili as a common language. Even though if they are from Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, Uganda, or Sudan, because they live in Kenya, so they speak Swahili. And as you know, you met Dolores Dillon. She's the only American Africa House staff that we have here. So she is the one that show us the rope about American culture, American way of life, and she educate also African women on American family, women life skill, parenting, and all those.
Dolores Dillard, community educator.
I've been working for ERCO for 5 years, and 4 of those years was in the parenting department, and the last year has been with Africa House. I decided to come to Africa House because I've traveled to many of the African nations, so I have some familiarity with Africans, and also because I am African American, so kind of a collaboration. And I knew that the refugees that are coming would need a lot of help. And so I thought I could assist them in that. So my role here at Africa House is to help bridge the gap between the two cultures, African and African Americans, and also give the African women a better understanding what the roles are as parents here in the U.S., which is totally different than in Africa. So I do women workshops, do a lot of those. And those workshops entail anything from ESL classes, teaching some English, because I tell them that they won't be successful if they don't know English and if they don't get educated. Most of the clients are Muslim women. I'm a Christian, but that doesn't bring hindrance, because we are all women, so we have some of the same stories, some variations because of the different cultures, but same stories in many ways, as a parent, as a grandmother, whatever. So we talk about everything, and when you get a group of women together, it's different than when you have men in the room. So you get a chance to really understand the culture more, because the men are not there influencing the Muslim women, because most of them are Muslim, and we just talk very openly about everything, you know. So it's a very enlightening. One of the things they do is also introduce them to new things. For instance, I took a group to Linfield College because many of the young girls and women want to become nurses. So we have a collaboration with Linfield College. Linfield students come here and do internship. OHSU, we have a collaboration with them. They come and they do internships. So that's exposing them to the medical field, which many of them are interested in. And after traveling to several of the African nations, I understand even better why that's so. And also they understand that if they have a medical degree, something in the medical field, they will also be able to get a job. And so that's real important for them. So talking openly about school and the role that they as a parent have here in the U.S. is different than what they have in the school in Africa. And so it's a very interesting job. Every day is new and different, and I'm learning more than I'm given, okay? I just admit that I'm learning something new every day. And so it's very challenging, very demanding, very demanding. It's caused me to get real serious about an exercise program. I started curves, okay, because I needed to do something relief after. Because you can think that you're going to help a client with one little simple document, and that one little simple document, filling out a document for food stamps, will lead to 3 or 4 hours, because it's all these other documents that they will bring out to you, remembering that most of them don't speak English. So if you get a document and you don't speak English, you don't know if it's something that needs to be done right now, today. It could be done whenever. And so we have a lot of documents that I help fill out and everything from A to Z. So you want to be challenged, this is it.
So when people call, if they want to get involved, they'll most likely be talking to you first.
Many times they do. I wasn't supposed to be the volunteer coordinator, but since we don't have one, and people call, and they call, they see a newspaper article, or they see the TV, you know, Jimmy or someone on TV, then they want to know, well, I want to be involved with Africa House. And many of them specify they don't want to be just involved with IRCO, which is Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, would entail the other refugees and immigrants. Many of them specify, I want to be involved with Africans. So what kinds of things can they do? Doing tutoring for the adults as well as the children is a big thing, because many of them want to learn English. And so we have tutors that are in the homes of parents, helping the parents and the children learn how to read. So that's a big one. That's a real big one. Certain things like, okay, if you've never had electricity and now you have electricity, or you've never had a thermostat and no one has told you you need to turn this on to have heat. Or maybe you told that person, but they didn't understand it because they've never experienced. So things that we would not even think about as being something that's necessary to train and teach them. So it's everything. It's everything from A to Z. So, but it's very, very exciting to see the light bulb come on, that they understand, okay, if I do this, then these are the results that will follow. And, of course, in every nationality, having something centered around dance, fun, food. And so when I have my workshop, which I'll do one tomorrow, I found out doing workshop in a small home setting is more effective than trying to have the big group. And so it's more informal. And so I know that they, you know, they're going to have food. And I bring some things, they bring some food. So, you know, eating their food or drinking the tea is very important part of the culture. And usually, most of the time, Salome, who's gone now, she had another meeting. She's from the Congo. She and I usually wear African garments. But see, I was doing that before I started working at Africa House because I love the garment and I look beautiful in them, okay? And so, and I have lots of them because of my travels and everything too. But it's a little bit too cold for Africa garment right now. And Jimmy usually, he used to have on African garments. A lot of the time he does. So, and so they love to see you with the African garments on. And I show some of my photos of my travels and, and, you know, so it's very, very exciting, very demanding. The needs are tremendous. One of the things I did was I collected school supplies for them from a couple of the churches, the church that I go to and the former church I go to. I got school supplies from the two churches so that I could give those. And you saw some clothing and things in there. I get some of that. I don't want to get a lot of clothing because I don't want to be responsible. We're not Goodwill. And sometimes people dump off stuff. That's not acceptable. I'm very picky about what I receive because I will treat the people like I want to be treated. And since I don't wear things that are ragged and withholding, I don't want to do that to them either. Mm-hmm. So if people bring things, I want them to be in good condition because I don't want to have to go through stuff and throw away because you brought some junk. You know, that's it. You know, I don't want just anything. Okay. And so explaining to the parents, too, how important it is for the children to go to school, because in a lot of the cultures, the girls get married very young. They're expected to take care of the family and cook for the family. And so that's something where we talk about. Okay, the importance of the girls getting education and the parents explaining to them that you will have these menial jobs, minimum wage jobs, if you don't have the English and the education. So this is a whole new world, a whole new world for a lot of them. And so some of them are doing well, and others have been here for 12 or 13 years, and they just like they just came. And think about it, if you had been in a refugee camp most of your life, and you were not a decision maker. You had to do whatever somebody told you to do and when they said, kind of like prison, you know? So being able to think for yourself and do things for yourself. And sometimes my coworkers say I'm hard on them because I want them to be self-sufficient, and they won't be self-sufficient if I'm making all the decisions, if I'm taking them everywhere. And so I would sometimes take them one time to a place, but the next time I'll give you the route, and you must go on your own. And some have criticized me for that, but then now some of them see why. They say, we understand why you're doing that. I said, well, it's with me being a parent. There comes a time with your own children that even though you could do this for your child, you know it will not help them to grow if you continue to do it. So in a lot of cases, that's the way you have to think, that in order to help them, I need to show them the way. Not just do it for them. It's a lot of respect on both ends. That's what it really boils down to. Most of them call me mama, because in the African culture, if you have gray hair and you're older, you're mama. So they, when I talked about, you know, leaving, they said, you can't leave. You're the mama of all of Africa. You can't retire. You can't retire next year. I'm 64 today. And I said, I want to retire next year. They said, you got to work at least until you're 80. You know, I thought, come on, give me a break. Because I'm a Christian and because I'm involved in a local church that is very involved in the community, and because I've lived here over 40 years, I have a lot of connections, okay? It's all about, this is about networking and connections. And so one of the things is many African Americans have never been to Africa, and many of them have never had a desire to go to Africa. When I started going in 1996, most of my friends thought I had lost my mind. My African-American friends, I might say. And they didn't understand why I would even desire to go. But over the years, I continued to go and take with me both African-Americans and Caucasians. After they have gone and they have seen and experienced, and they say, thank you. We didn't understand. Because of the separation of slavery, then there was never a connection. We were never together. It's usually Caucasian people that you see on the news going to Africa. Okay, and I'm very direct and very honest. That is very true. And so consequently, the African people thought that we would not accept them And the African-American people thought that Africans would not accept them, so the division continued. But now that they see that is not so, then it's a collaboration. And it always takes one person. You know, one person can make a difference. It takes one person saying, you know what, this needs to change. This is what I am going to do to make that change. So my last years of my life, however many that might be, will be to continually make the change. What I'm in the process of doing now is every year I plan on going to another place. Usually, for the last few years, it's been Africa. But last year, I changed up. I went to Asia. I went to the Philippines. My first time going to the Philippines. But I've been to Israel and UK and, you know, different other places as well. And all of the places, I've loved every place I've gone because it's really about people. If you love people, then it doesn't matter because you see some of the same things in every one of these nations. You see poverty in those nations. You see hunger in those nations. You see people that want a better life for themselves and their family. Doesn't matter about the nation, the color of the skin. We all desire the same things. So taking teams of people with me, it's how I expose them to that. 2001, there were 14 other people that went with me. 9 of them were children, ages 9 to 15. The whole group was African American. We went to Ghana. Changed those children's life. Most of those children came from Northeast Portland, single parent household. We did all kinds of fundraisers to get those children there. I'm planning to go to Africa again. I will be taking a team with me. And half of the team members are Caucasian, over half actually. The people in these nations don't care because it's about the heart. Everybody, you know, we really know if people are genuinely interested in you and if they really like you or if they're just giving you some lip service. And especially the children, they just melt in the arms of the people that love them. And some of these ladies just can't wait. I just can't wait to go over there and love some of these children in the orphanages and everything. And so it's exciting. It's very exciting. That's what I do for my vacation. I save my vacation to go overseas to do humanitarian work because that's what I enjoy doing. That's what keeps me working day by day.
Yeah, this is the anti-poverty program help community member who are facing rental issues, so we assist them with rental assistance and also other emergency assistance like utility or phone bill. So it's a program, we get the money from Multnomah County to help those people in need. And this program is not only for Africans, it's open to everybody living in Multnomah County. Mainstream people, Asian, whoever in need will come here, but it's based on first come, first serve. And on the availability, if we have money, we serve. So the money is coming from Multnomah County. So let me take you upstairs where my offices are. This is Ali Ibrahim office, community educator. He's from Somalia. And I speak also Arabic, Italian, and other bunch of Somali languages. This desk is from Daniel Amin. He's from Ethiopia, but he speaks also Tigrinya from Eritrea. And like he said earlier, he's in charge of family mediation program. This desk is Abdelaziz Mohammed. He's from Somali Bantu community, and him and Teresa run the new program, HIV and Hepatitis B, to educate African. Here is Dolores Diller's office. She's a community educator and mostly helping women with the life skill workshop. Here is my office, and that's where we also most of the time have our staff meeting because most of the time the community room is occupied by a community member. So because we are only 4 staff working at Africa House, so we will meet here in my office. The rest of the program, the health program and also the anti-poverty program, they're initially based in the Asian Family Center, but because the Serve African, IRCO relocated them to Africa House, so that when an African client came here, they get all the service in one place. The civic engagement program is a new guy that we hired him last week. His name is Polo. He's not here yet. We're looking for a space for him. So he's in charge of educating African and Asian and Russian. So we will hire, each community, we will hire community members, African, Asian, and Russian, to help them organize those workshops with different community members. Thank you for your visit. It's great.
For more information about Africa House, call 503-802-0082 or go to the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization website, www.irco.org. Thanks to Jimmy Dogo, Daniel Amine, Ali Ibrahim, and Dolores Dillard.
On Sunday, March 9th, from 1 to 3 p.m., KBOO and Circle A Radio present a day of information about the San Francisco 8. Eight former members and supporters of the Black Panther Party, now known as the San Francisco 8, have been targeted in a vindictive prosecution in San Francisco for their political activities of over 35 years ago. Join us for a discussion about the current issues, the Black Panther Party, and COINTELPRO, with Hank Jones of the San Francisco 8, Claude Marks and Maisha Quint of the Committee to Free the 8, and former head of the Portland Black Panther Party, Kent Ford. The event will be held at Liberty Hall at 311 North Ivy Street in Portland. For more information on the case, go to www.freethesf8.org.
Circle A Radio is on KBOO Portland every first and third Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. We can be reached at circlearadio@gmail.com or at kboo.fm/circlearadio. Our next show will broadcast March 19th. Thanks for listening.